All glories to the assembly. All glories to the assembly. glory to the individual. All glory to Sri Sri Guru Ji. All glory to Sri Ramakrishna. Namah Vishnu Daya Guru.
Namah Vishnu Daya Guru.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
with this chapter, once again, we are informed about the glories of Krishna in this material world. At the end of the 10th chapter, Krishna explains that everything wonderful in this material world has its source in Krishna. Somewhere else he explains that within all men he is the ability. So whenever you see something transacting or transpiring in this world, abilities, you can understand that this is all due to the to Lord Krishna's energies. For instance, let us consider a human being. A human being is dressed in a dress of false ego, of mind, intelligence, and the body. Explaining that if we consider a human being, he really is a soul covered in a dress of false ego, intelligence, mind, and the body. Now, because of having lost one's spiritual identity, one is more or less forced to find an identification. And since the consciousness usually is completely projected on matter, a person in the material world will always choose a material identification, a material role, which is based on this existential dilemma of the soul, at least. This covered by a dress of false ego. However, if the soul leaves the material body, then this dress becomes completely insignificant and of no relevance whatsoever for the eternal soul. Now, this is all high sounding philosophy, and even no one will really grasp it maybe so well as in the morning. Let us explain the same thing with a nice picture which the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us. On the way here, we read this in Chaitanya Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya was explaining to his mother the horrible condition of the living entity within the sticky and dark yama called the womb of the mother. After 7 months, the living entity wakes up to consciousness. And he actually, this is what Lord Chaitanya said, remembers what he was in his past life. He remembers, for instance, that he was a king. That example is given. He remembers what he did during this kingly existence, both pious and also impious activities. And the eternal soul also remembers how the soul lied as a king, and everything became transformed in a heap of ashes. Just imagine this horrible, this is actually a striking realization. Let us, for instance, here is Dr. Sasha. You don't mind me taking the other name. Dr. Sasha has spent a considerable amount of his time going to the university and learn economic ideas. Thank you for coming in. understand it. He has a beautiful girlfriend who is also very intelligent and a nice personality, very nice personality. So just Dr. Sasha, do this for us. You are today our example. Just consider, all this turns within a second into a heap of ashes. This is tragic. I must tell you, I'm now a sannyasi and I'm an older devotee. If I would consider everything is all of a sudden a heap of ashes, I would have to get accustomed to the idea. It would take some time to digest it. I must tell you very, very honestly, I sometimes desire this. But you know, all of a sudden. Now imagine, for a person who is not like Dr. Sasha, who is not like me, who is an attached materialist, imagine he sees before his eyes all that turn into a heap of ashes. This is extremely shocking. And that's what the soul sees when it's in the sticky and dark womb of the mother. It sees how a whole material life with much endeavors, attachments to the wife and to the children, to the titles, to the money, to the abilities of this, has just turned. So it is said when the soul finds this, I think the English word is retrospective. I mean, looking back. Retrospective. When the soul sees this in retrospective, he's so shocked that he cannot really imagine himself doing the same thing again. It is said when the soul sees it, he does not even want his embryo body. He says, "My dear Godaspati, please give me a brother there, a Smith." he says this. And that's the first reaction. He sees a past death. This Brizzle Smith, isn't it? He's so shocked, and then he begins to actually pray to Krishna. "My dear Lord, when I come out of this womb, out of this dark cave, please be so kind that I do not fall again into the illusion of material life." And that's basically that the soul prays to not be covered again by Maya or by his false ego. He really is serious at that particular moment, because he has just seen in a vision, so to say, how everything he did was burned into a heap of ashes. Imagine if we would know that what we do is burned into a heap of ashes, we wouldn't do it. I mean, you wouldn't buy a car if you know next day it's a piece of, isn't it? So the soul really takes shelter in Krishna at this moment. And these are very wonderful prayers the soul prays. If you want to read them, they are very nicely explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto. I almost feel every one of us, I'm going to read them after this. Maybe I have no time this evening, but tomorrow in the and then you can also read the verses from Chaitanya Bhagavat. If you don't have this, I can make a photocopy for you and send it to you. You can compare Bhagavat and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Very striking. Very, very nice. If we do not wake up from our false identification where we are engaged in a futile attempt to enjoy our senses, our life is actually ruined. Before giving this particular lecture, I was thinking, what can I say? Because today I'm only so fortunate as to see you. You know, for a few hours tomorrow we have to leave. And I was thinking, I should speak something from my realization these last days, something personal, which philosophical, but which bears the weight of my own thoughts in Krishna consciousness. And going through the many different realizations which this wonderful preaching tour in Yugoslavia gave us, one particular point came very clear into the mind, and that is that you have to understand what spiritual life is. See, in material life we think we are successful if we arrange our circumstances in a way that we can find pleasure. For instance, many Yugoslavians during the hot summer season, they go to the Adria coast. There's cool breeze and nice water for swimming. And I know especially many Germans go there also. We were going from at the coast to Split. Yes, so the Adria coast we were going, and I was seeing so many Nemechkas. They were all extremely red and suffering because they cannot wait to get brown. They are so passionate that it has to happen in 3 days, you know. And then they somehow seem that they are very attractive. They look like roasted pigs. You know. We saw these roasted pigs on the day, and I personally couldn't see much of a difference. I think no one is from Germany, so no one gets a change of pigs. Yugoslavians also, but they get baited. They have the same idea. By changing my environment, I will become happy. Go to the nice Adria coast and swim in the water. And then come back and everyone will say, oh, you look so brown. this is one factor. It is called the desha, the place. The conditioned soul thinks by improving or changing the place, his happiness is coming. Then he also has to arrange for the right time. For instance, if you want to go to the coast and become brown, you have to use the summer time, not the winter time. The time, then you have to use a certain endeavor. You have to get enough money in order to pay the benzene, that you can go there. It's very simple. Time, place, time, endeavor, and you naturally have to bring your senses with you. I mean, this is self-understood. Without the legs, you cannot move, or there was nothing to get from, you know. You have to bring your body with you. So the conditioned soul thinks if he can just arrange the right place, the right time, the endeavor, and, you know, use his tela, his body, then there will be enjoyment. However, this is a cardinal mistake of material existence. Like I said, I looked at this Niemetzka Turista, and they looked still completely nervous, stressed, and you know, some had yogurt all over their body, because that cools the body after the sunburn. And I was thinking, I would just like to go on the Adria coast and, you know, speak in a loudspeaker, ihr seid alle in Illusion, Jungs. You are all in illusion. Cosmic illusion. You have forgotten the most important factor, which is the super soul. If Krishna is not satisfied by your endeavors, then even the beautiful Adria coast, which looks very attractive, I mean, looking, comparing it with, for instance, the area in Prigrada, it looks more attractive, isn't it, Kripadayali? You are actually from there. Yes. But even there you will be bored. And I could see with my own senses these bored German tourists. I also saw one mystical, I was really shocked. People were lying to get brown just next to a factory at the Adria. And I heard from our Sashi Sudha Jaya Prabhu that this factory is a factory which makes aluminium. And you all know that means a lot of poison is created. So they bathed in the Adria, thinking that they would be healthy, happy and wise, you know, but they're destroying their skin and take diseases with them. So this just goes to show you that your karma, which is under the supervision of the super soul, goes with you. And therefore, if you do not take the spiritual life, if you do not please Krishna, you can do whatever you want. You can become the president of Yugoslavia, but your misery will not stop. Sometimes we see, and there are young devotees who have not understood Krishna consciousness who leave, but the misery does not leave them. It just goes on because they have not done anything to please Krishna. There is a very nice story which I also want to tell you. I will first tell you a Prabhupada story. Prabhupada once met such a new devotee who had left. So he asked him, why did you leave? And he said, because I had to rise up before 4 o'clock. This was intolerable. It was too much pain. So Prabhupada continued the conversation. And then he asked, now how are you living? I have no place to sleep, so I sleep in the train station at the bank. Is it working? Well, sleeping is all right, but you have to get up before 4 o'clock because the train follows. I do not know if they have this in Japan. They have, in Germany they have this special railroad police. They come control the station, and then I have to get up and leave. I will tell you a different story. Because this point is so important, I feel personally very enlightened about this point in my life. It's a point from the Pancha, yes. It's about a man, and this is about good karma. It is about a man who was married to a nice thing special. So the wife fell in love with someone else and wanted to get rid of her unattractive husband. and said, you are so heroic, you are so strong, why don't you go into a different country for a while? Everyone will see your abilities, you will earn much money, and then you come home as a rich man. So the man thought, finally my wife, she always was so bad during these last months, now finally she appreciates my abilities. And they actually threatened him to kill him. But he said, what is the use of killing me? I am not very strong. Please, Mulan, Yasam Sluga, I'm your servant. You can take all my cloth, all my money, whatever I have. Just let me live, please. What is the benefit in killing me? So they took everything. And naked he wandered through the forest. All of a sudden he saw these terrible robbers again. And they were all sleeping. So he ran away in complete fear. Then after a day, he was already very hungry. He came back. And again he saw these robbers just lying down. They were lying down. And he saw some black crows picking their eyes. Crows. Yeah. And then he understood that they had died. His wife had given him poisonous food, and they had stolen the food from him, and they had eaten it, and as a result they died. So he simply took a knife from one of the robbers, cut all the heads. It's, you know, an Indian story. it is not extremely spiritual. It's he was not a devotee. You know, he cut all the heads, put it around his belt, and went to the crash and said, "I am a great hero. See." And the king immediately thought, he has killed these six robbers. No one could kill them. They were as powerful as Yamaraj. Now I will make them my general. And this way I will never lose any war. So he said, all right, I'm going to become your general. However, there is one condition only. Never call me for unimportant business. Only if something really urgent is happening. So, not far from the town of the king lived a terrible lion, a man-eating lion. And he came and attacked the town. And the best soldiers were going, but no one could catch this lion. He killed the greatest of fighters. Finally, the king said, "You, please, you are our hero. Go." And he said, "I knew you are a budala. This is very unimportant business. Don't call me for such to kill a beast. You know, an animal. This anyone can do. You don't need me." Well, the king said, all right, and sent again a big fighter. Same result, he was killed. So finally, the whole town was becoming angry. What is the... He is our hero, he gets a big payment, big general payment, and they all carried him outside of the town and said, "You fight," and they closed the door of the town and he couldn't. So he was very afraid. See, he was not at all a fighter. Not at all. So anyway, so he could not return. So he went into the dark forest, climbed up a tree and began to try to sleep on the branch. And he thought, I will spend this night somehow, and in the morning I will travel on, and we'll just get away here, you know, save some money which you have to take, you know. So, but then in the night you have the terrible roar of the lion. Because the lion had smelled the human flesh. And he was coming to the tree. He was going to jump at the tree. And then he just lay down there. So the man, so afraid, his whole body began to shake. And by shaking, he lost his spear. So the cobbler fell. And somehow it hit so good, it just killed the lion on the spot. And I mean, he didn't believe it. For one day, he was shaking on the tree. Until again the black crows came. And ate the eyes of the lion. Then he understood. So he went into the town and said, "You fools, you have doubted in me? No shraddha, no faith. Just come, see." So this shows is an example of good karma. His wife wanted to poison him. The robbers wanted to kill him. The terrible lion wanted to, eat him up. Nothing good. The karma was there. Because in one of his previous lives, he had done a pious activity which was recognized by Sri Krishna, by the Super Soul. The Super Soul was giving a good reward. Usually we hear examples of bad karma, like for instance the unfortunate man, the devotee who left Krishna consciousness. You know, this is a bad, this is an example of a bad. But here was an example of a good karma. So I think with this example we have given this subject picturesque covering. It is a very philosophical subject. So if you understand this one point, that you cannot change your material circumstances, only if you break free of the bonds of karma you can change your destiny, then the only conclusion which is there is to become a devotee, isn't it? Is this logical? This is described in the Srimad in the Brahma Sangita, sorry. Yastvindam gopama ravindra maho svakarma bhandanu rupa phala bhajana matanyati. Karmani nirdati kintu cha bhakti bhajam govindamari purusham aham bhajami. He said, everyone starting from Indra, the king of heaven, and going down to the insignificant Indra Gop, that's a very tiny insect, is suffering and enjoying the results of previously performed activities. However, karmani nirdahat bikintu cha bhakti bhajam, by this process of bhakti, a spiritual fire comes up which burns the karmic reactions at its root. Now when we start the process of devotional service, we may not immediately see how our karma and our karmic reactions are annihilated. We may still suffer sometimes due to our mind and due to our body, our Kripa Dayalu Prabhu, best of devotees, is not even suffering from this. He has to have an operation in 2 weeks, I think, isn't it? Some in time to come. This is because of his karma. Well, he was a big rascal. We can say this, you're not angry at me? For sure. So it has now fructified. Or sometimes we come in a situation in devotional service where we suffer in our we are not very extremely satisfied. Everything seems to turn against us, isn't it? And everything becomes so hard. And we even lose our basic understanding of Krishna consciousness. Some Maya makes some illusory storm in our mind, which is even more painful sometimes than the pains the body gives. But this will go away if you keep the fire burning. The fire of devotion is, or it is said, the fire of knowledge, this Krishna conscious knowledge, it burns away your karmic reaction. And the proof of this statement are to be found in the living examples of devotees. When you see an advanced devotee, you feel, oh, he is this special, special person. Not very often, very rare. I've seen this many times during our programs, which we made now. We had every day a program, and it lasted very long. We did never. I think the earliest when we stopped was 30 minutes before 12. and people were just overwhelmed. I have never seen such people. How is it that by looking at you I become so happy? They said, people said, writing, you know, I was at this program, now I know why I'm in this world and what is the meaning of life. This Krishna conscious and especially when people see the devotees, they become extremely impressed. Often this is seen. This in Germany, the whole of Germany still talks about Krishna consciousness. It's only a few, 60, you know, now we are more, I think we are 100 now. Yeah. And everyone talks about this. Because they are special. Now, when we are in devotional service, we must learn to tolerate the body's pains and the mind's pains. We must learn this. If you think I will be now very clever, I will arrange something outside of the spiritual arrangement. No, I will make some arrangement. That would become very happy. You have to satisfy Krishna. I will now make a very personal point, because I have only so little time, I'm always talking so directly. Sometimes devotees think, I will marry. All the problems of existence are solved. I will sit with my beautiful wife, read about Krishna book, eat nice prasada cooked by my wife with full love and affection. This is like the brahmachari dream. Then life will be maja. And Maharaji sing the same. I will have the affectionate care of my beloved husband. No one will tell me, do this now. My husband will protect me. And it does not work, believe me. I'm not a fanatic. It does not work. It's an illusion. If you please believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm 20 years in this movement. I am an old man now. Believe me. And I have no bad intention. I only desire your happiness in life. Believe me, it does not work. Only if you please Krishna. Then if Krishna is satisfied with you, misery has an end. And there is no other arrangement. In Krishna consciousness, this is a point a devotee has to understand. Yasam sluga. Yes, like you said, isn't it? Yeah, one more. One day I will sit here and speak one complete sentence. So this is a point I wanted to make. If we do not take the chance of which is handed to us, it is like Rupa Goswami gives the example that the conditioned soul within this body and mind is like a person who has fallen into a well. Now, yes, Bruna, this is right. And a rope has been given into this well. You can only take the rope, even if you are not 100% convinced that this will get you out of the Brunar. You have to take the rope because there is no other way out and you will die otherwise. So why not be a little clever and make a see if it is basically working, all right, and then just get up and out of the Brunar. In the beginning it's a little difficult, so much muscles, you might have to train a little before you have the muscles, you know. But then you get out and misery stops. So there's a rope handed down to us by the Guru Parampara. It's a life of devotional service. Why don't we just take it? Why don't we just become convinced that, yes, I go out on Sankirtan, it's a little difficult, but it's service and it is so pleasing to Krishna. Why don't we just do it? You've heard rising up early is good for our Krishna consciousness. Why don't we just do it? You have to heard we should always engage ourselves. Why don't we just do it? Why are we always so foolish and go on the mentality niveau? Mentality niveau. Yes, I've also learned this word in this travel journey. Yes. Why jump into the well again, you know. This is very foolish and very unfortunate. Now to end this presentation of you, I want to make two final points. I want to give an illustration how someone who is not taking the rope of devotional service, what is his destiny? So we have spoken positively about it. This is called direct speaking. Now we will use the philosophical method to talk indirectly about it. I was giving this this example in one program in Zagrebo. There is one place in India called Pakshi Tirtha. It's a place where two eagles come. They come from the north. They come onto the top of the temple and they are fed by a priest eagle food. And then they go and fly to the south until they are little dots in the horizon. Then next day they come again from the north. They go to the south. Same eagle. Now you will be shocked to hear that this is going on since a very, very long time. It is going on, according to the Shastra, since millions of years. What is happening? These two eagles are people, actually yogis, who have offended Lord Shiva in the past. And they were cursed by Lord Shiva to be born again and again and again and again as eagles, come from the north, eat lunch, and disappear in the south. Millions of years. Can you imagine this somewhere? All they do really is flying. Great distances they must fly. And if you, I did not know this, I only knew of Pakshi Tirtha for a long time. I had seen pictures of the eagles, and I always felt very compassionate. I didn't really know why. I just felt they looked so tragic, these two eagles. And then, not long ago, I heard the full explanation that they were actually yogis who made a mistake. Now, I want to use this example not for a fallen devotee. I want to use this example of fallen yogi in a different sense, as an illustration of the cycle of birth and death. If we do not take the robe of devotional service, but try to increase our life by making arrangements, and there are so many arrangements we can make, it will not help us. Like now, for instance, we all look for a temple, isn't it? A nice temple. We must be full with a burning desire to please Krishna with this project. Then Krishna will give us a very wonderful temple. He can give, he's a good aspati, no problem for him. But if we do not have full Krishna consciousness, Krishna won't give. We may endeavor, break our teeth, and it doesn't come. This is another example how we have to please Krishna. Or we may like to run out of school, like our Bhagata, what is your name? Igor. Yes, our Igor wants to leave this school, scholar, foolish school. But it will not work if you do not please Krishna. So please Krishna is the substance, some substance of our life. And for this, we have to control our Uma. Yes, who always wants to take us away from this simple principle. How often have you heard this? Isn't it such a simple point? What do you think? Such a simple point, isn't it? Please Krishna. Nothing new. But how often in the day do we forget this? Very often. Such a simple point. So therefore, this is my realization in this. I'm not a great devotee. I'm not a great philosopher. But I make only very simple realizations. But this is a realization. No matter what, how your body feels, how your womb feels, how everyone around you feels, you just have to please Krishna by your activities. Is this pleasing to Krishna? And Krishna looks every, he sees everything. See, to please Krishna, it's beyond social pressure. Sometimes we are in a society of devotee, you know, then the list is read. Tomorrow we also read a list, a Sankirtan, is that?
Yeah.
Very good. May I read this? I like to read this very much.
Okay.
Good. No, actually, it must be done in Yugoslavian language, but I can follow it. My greatest pleasure in life. So, so, I wanted to bring this point up. We no matter how, I will just please Krishna. And so yes, here in during this time of Sankirtan, there is a kind of social atmosphere. Now, for instance, Mahaprabhu was number one last week, isn't it? Yes. So there is an expectation. Will he be number one? And he will feel, will I be number one? What will the other think if I'm number 10? They will think I want to marry. There is something like this, you could say, social pressure. What will the other think? This is sometimes quite prominent in the thought of a human being. But see, in if you just understand this, I want to please Krishna. No need of social pressure, because Krishna always sees everything you do. You may be very sloppy and become number one, and you have not pleased Krishna. Or you may be number 1,011, but you really have tried. then you have attained the goal. Then you are number one. Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that a mosquito becomes an elephant. In other words, that someone who has little capabilities all of a sudden does something outstanding and everyone goes, bravo, bravo. Krishna consciousness is just a sincere endeavor to please Krishna. If you're a mosquito, then do it as a mosquito. So in other words, let us develop an internal understanding of Krishna consciousness, not an external understanding. That will not help us. That will be very bad. So Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much for Vala Lepa, for listening so patiently. This is very much on my heart, so I was just telling it to you. I sincerely hope that this will inspire you to think of Krishna. Smata Vya Satatam. I also know many verses about this. I have not quoted them. The real Smata, this is a very nice verse. New verse. Smata Vya Satatam Vishnu. Smata Vya Nachanashi. The sum and substance of all rules and regulations. Always remember Krishna. And? Yes. Never forget that. This you can only do if you get this into your dull brain. I mean, into the dull brain. You do have very enlightened brains, but you know. I'm always preaching to me when I'm saying dull brain. It's just the simple thing. I'm Yasam Sluka.